May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Please be seated. By now, I hope that at least some of you are thinking, man, I wish I had been there. We wish you could have been there too. It was a truly remarkable experience filled with all of the images that I hope we have been able to portray at least a little bit here this morning. In many ways, an experience like this reminds me of our Lutheran doctrine of vocation. See, the doctrine of vocation recognizes that our Lord gives us a great many different things to do in this life, not just what we would consider our job title or the primary role that we play, but all of the ways in which our Lord enables us to interact with our families and our communities, all the things that we do. And this was certainly a diverse kind of experience we shared. It began with a pretty remarkable travel adventure that tested our patience greatly, but we were delivered. Some of our group joined in on pickup basketball games or volleyball games, you know, playing another youth group from, I don't know, Idaho or somewhere. Some of them played this game. It's played in an eight-sided ring. It's called Gaga Ball. Apparently, we're very good at it. We walked and walked and walked some more. All over the city, there were art projects and activities galore that you could get involved in. We spent serious time in God's Word every day. And we spent serious time in conversation and reflection as a group, all crammed into my hotel room. We were just sitting everywhere, sharing what it was that touched our hearts that day. We shared a few tears together. Sometimes we laughed until it hurt. We sang at the top of our lungs. We spent several hours packing soup meals into little plastic bags that were cartoned to be shipped all over the world in service to missionaries as they encountered needs among the people they served. And we were told that the end of our week together, everyone participating in that service project, we packed 1 million meals that will be shipped all over the world serving neighbors we will never meet. All of that a part of this remarkable experience. And the whole event culminated in a mass event worship service that is formed much like the one that we celebrate together every week around God's Word and His sacrament. And it set a different tone for us. We set down the electric music and the lights. We were led in worship by a 100-piece student orchestra and a 150-voice choir, and we sang the great hymns of the church. And our sermon was preached for us by the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison. And here's how he began his message.
You'll look down upon people and judge them throughout your life and think you're holier than thou. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And what do you fear? You fear being outed for being a poser, as my kids would say. You fear somebody finding out about something about you that is embarrassing. You fear to stand before your peers at school and confess Christ. You're afraid of this and afraid of that. You love this and you love that. You want this and you want that. Shame on you. time when your hands do something that ought not be done, every time when your feet go someplace where you should not be, you drag Christ through the muck. Why? Because you are a Christian, a little Christ. You have Jesus' name on you.
Now there is no mistaking God's law spoken in plain truth. And after the gathering was over, there was some social media chatter among adults from other groups. And a few were expressing some regret about that message, asserting that perhaps our synodical president shouldn't have taken quite such a harsh tone when talking to teenagers. So when we got home, we gathered together again as a group in the church basement, and we asked our students how they reacted to those words of law preached by Dr. Harrison. And the consensus here from our students was this: sometimes we just need to hear the truth, and you ought not be afraid to say it. But as we all know, that's not the end of the truth. The Word of God does indeed place God's condemning and guiding law before us. But then the Bible virtually explodes with the joy of the gospel, the promise of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. And so President Harrison laid out the trajectory of Jesus' life, and he explained that how every step of Jesus on the earth was done for us, a means of illustrating that he was one of us, that he had come for us, that his entire life was a reflection of the grace of God poured out in the love of Christ. And Reverend Harrison's sermon culminated like the gospel itself. Here's what he said.
And he rose again on the third day to promise you a resurrection. It's all yours. Where are you headed? In many various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets like Jacob. But now in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. God came to Jacob in a dream. How does he come to us? I'll tell you. It's like this. We got an empty sack. And we come to church just like we did today. And what happens? We confess our sins. Dear God, I got an empty sack. And what happens? The pastor says, in the stead and by the command of Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what goes in the back? Forgiveness and love and mercy.
We all come before God with an empty sack. And he fills it. He fills our empty sack with that same grace and mercy, love and forgiveness. He comes to us with his real body and blood placed on the altar for us to receive, and more grace is poured into that sack. He comes to us with his living word present in every circumstance, every trouble, every joy and celebration in our lives. He comes to us as that ever-present help in trouble, as our refuge and strength. He comes to us to be our God, to call us to be his own in the waters of holy baptism, to guide us by his word and his church throughout this life, to forgive our sins by the sacrifice of Jesus' body and blood, and finally, to lead us home, to be with him in his eternal kingdom. There could be nothing more real than that. And in that kingdom of God, I dare say a crowd of 20,000 worshipers will feel like a drop in the bucket. To let the truth of God sink in, we made our theme into a kind of a cadence. So imagine all 20,000 of us echoing through Viking Stadium in full voice, boldly declaring, "Real present God. Real present God." Join us. "Real present God." To the glory of God. Amen.